yet to miss anything this year. That was blocked. The Bears have it. The Bears are going to get a touchdown out of this. Now they're ruling. Let's see what they rule in the end zone. There's a penalty marker down.
I think that ball was knocked out before he crossed the goal line. At least from here, he relaxed too much before he crossed the goal line.
He did slow down, did he not? And that's just a bad play. It's a horrible play.
Well, it's coming. Right for us. Right for us.
Hampton, Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss. Hey, hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, 720 WGN and CLTV until 4. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. As you probably know, the Bears and Steelers are still going 17 apiece with a little more than a minute to go. The Bears with the football at around midfield. So trying somehow, some way to get into field goal range and kick a field goal to win the game. But it's 4th and 2 with exactly a minute to go. And I assume that the Bears are probably going to end up punting here, which they will, and so the Steelers are going to have a shot at somehow, some way, driving about, oh, call it 60 yards and attempt their own field goal with a minute to go. The Bears should not be in this position right now. The Bears, I've never seen anything quite like what we saw today. It was a 14-7 Bears lead right before the half. The Steelers were lining up to kick a field goal. The Bears blocked the field goal. Marcus Cooper Sr., who is a Bears cornerback, used to play for the Chiefs, used to play for the Cardinals, he scoops up the block, and he is running uncontested to the end zone. It's going to be a touchdown. The Bears are going to go into the half up 21-7. On the Pittsburgh Steelers, arguably a top five team in the NFL. Some people think they're the best team in the AFC. Now, Pittsburgh's also known to show up or not show up on the road at least once a year. And that was today. But for whatever reason, Marcus Cooper Sr. slowed down and basically stopped at the 1 yard line.
And that's just a bad play. It's a horrible play.
I'm watching it like everybody else, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Like, I didn't think he knew the rule that if he went into the end zone, it was a touchdown. I thought that he just thought that he had run enough and the half was over. Because who would stop short 1 yard of the end zone if you knew that it was a touchdown? That makes no sense. But I guess he was going to, I don't know, fall into the end zone and do some method of showmanship. I have no idea. It was bizarre. And so the Steelers hustling down on the play, tackle him. He fumbles. The Steelers bat the ball out of the end zone, and by rule, the ball gets marked back where he fumbled. Nobody knew that rule, by the way. The officials didn't know that rule. They had to, like, call up New York. It was a long discussion. This is the reason why I'm on right now, and Hampton, OB, and Kaz are still watching the game because it took forever. And there's 22 seconds to go. If anything happens, I'll update you. 17-17, Steelers have the ball on their own 31. So, by rule, the Bears got the ball back on the half-yard line. The half-yard line, one play, no time on the clock. You're playing the Steelers, might as well go for it. And then in typical, this will be 7 years in a row, the Bears not making the playoffs. In typical Bears fashion, they false start. It was unbelievable. Drop it back 5 yards. And so they ended up kicking the field goal. And instead of being up 21-7 at the half, it was 17-7. And now the Bears haven't scored in the second half, and it looks like we're going to be going overtime. Kaz, you joining me, my friend? You can if you'd like. I can hear. You good over there?
Maybe. I'm trying to figure out why this feels like it's squeezing me right now.
Here, you take your time. Let me know when you're ready over there. So, here we are now going to a 10-minute overtime, 17 apiece. I mean, this should not be going on right now. Now what? Go ahead, Kaz.
No, it should not. And unfortunately, as we've talked about for the first two weeks on this show, the lack of fundamentals that this team doesn't possess, the skills that you need to do the little things right so that you can win consistently. And as Dan has phrased it in the past, or last week, what did we call him? The bumbling loafer, John Fox. And this team has taken on almost that attitude. It's a strange thing to watch.
And this wasn't even bumbling. This is just, I can't even explain it. Head not in the game, not knowing the rules. I thought that he didn't realize it was going to be a touchdown, but when he's knocked down on the ground and the ball gets batted out of the end zone, Cooper Sr. is signaling touchdown.
Because he thought he got over.
He thought he got over the line. Now, we've seen this. You know, Leon Lett did it in a Super Bowl game where he held the ball out and he ended up, the Bills were able to strip it from him. It didn't matter. The Cowboys were up 52-17.
Well, this was a 14-point swing in the game.
I mean, just,
you know, for all intents and purposes, actually, I would say 10 points, correct? Because
10 points.
They were kicking the field goal for three, Pittsburgh, and then you have a touchdown, a give-me touchdown for the Bears. So,
right.
Yeah, it wasn't a smart play, but this fits right into the whole scheme of what we talk about. Poor fundamentals, poor execution, poor details, poor planning. Everything about it was wrong. There's just no, you know, it was like he was going to stop and then fall into the end zone, I suppose, Ed. I don't know. I mean, I just don't get what he was doing.
Well, you know, I was to what I'm surprised about is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, Danny's got them picked to go to the Super Bowl, and people were talking about, you know, Big Ben's on his game. They have a great receiver in Brown. They're 2-0. They're coming in here. They're playing a team that can't find their way out of a huddle.
We're in overtime now.
Yeah, and we're in overtime. It's unbelievable. But the Bears, thank God, they're still in it. They could win it. But they've gotten every break, and Dan and I and Glenn will talk about that. Every call, it's absolutely unbelievable. But anyway, it is what it is, and we have a chance to win a game at home in front of our fans. And finally,
it's been a long time since that has happened.
1-3. Oh my God!
I mean, the Pittsburgh has this history. Last year, they were 4-1, lost to the 1-4 Dolphins, 30-15. 2015, they were 9-5. They lost to the Ravens, who were 4-10 at the time, 20-10.
Were those away games?
Not sure if it was home or road. OB. I can look it up. For some reason,
the Steelers have and, way you know, of playing the, down.
Right. Most of these are road games. Most of these are road games. 2014, 7-4, lost to the 4-7 Saints. 6-3 Steelers in 2014, lost to the 1-8 Jets. So they've been known to do this.
Delay a stinker. Right.
And they're doing it today, and the Bears are trying to take it, but they're also trying to give it away at the same time.
But also, like Dan and I were sitting there looking, Glenn, I'm telling you, every flag that was called and ones that weren't were unbelievable, especially pass interference on our part. They were not called. But anyway, like I said, all in all, my God, we're in overtime. We have a chance to win again at home, and let's see what can be done. Now, this thing about could have, would have, should have, whatever, we were in the game, we could have won the game if we lose. No. The fact of the matter is, you lost the game.
Yeah, you win or you lose.
So let's say we won the game today. We won the damn game.
Well, he just scatted the little scat back. Is going to take him for a touchdown and got away with a hold, I might add, too, on the edge with no penalty.
Yeah, I believe no penalty, right?
We're good? The cornerback got drugged down.
So we're going to come back in a second here, but apparently Tariq Cohn has just run 70-some-odd yards in overtime, which the first time you get the ball in overtime, if you score a touchdown,
it's
the game
over.
Is over.
Game's done.
And the Bears are celebrating, and the Bears, there are still conversations going on here, but it looks like the Bears are going to be on the board in 2017 with a victory. They're taking a look to see if he stepped out of bounds.
He did.
Yeah. You cannot touch that white line.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I mean, every call has gone for the Bears today, so
why
I'm
not
gonna
this
venture
one? Why not
to
this
say
one?
That this one will also go for the Bears.
Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come on back. Hampton will be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. We're gonna be with you till 6 o'clock today. And a reminder, thanks to the great people at Mr. Submarine. Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine.
You betcha.
We crushed some Mr. Submarine today.
Four sandwiches.
Four for you, Obi?
Four for me.
I went for two, and I had an apple pie, and I had a chip. It was delicious. Grab a sub packed with delicious meat, cheese, and veggies on fresh-baked Toronto bread. All right, we're coming right on back. 720 WGN and CLTV till 4.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
We got a good news, bad news for you here.
I got to tell you, I cannot believe the holding that the Bears are getting away with right now on the field. It's amazing.
Tariq Cohn was ruled out. He stepped out at the 37-yard line, so no touchdown, but the Bears do have the ball, and now Jordan Howard's got him inside the 20.
Yep.
So they still do need to score a touchdown here.
To win the game. Right.
So and Jordan Howard's had an excellent game, a bounce back game from you at 59 yards total coming into the year. In two games, he's well over 100 today. This isn't, I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre what's going on today. I'm curious, OB, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
It's an OB Bears team, and you had a guy like Marcus Cooper Sr. pick up a blocked field goal. And he ran and he stopped at the 1 yard line and got tackled. And you're going to the locker room. And you should be up 21-7 and you're up 17-7. What do you do to that guy? Do you dress him down or you just leave him be?
Well, absolutely. You got to take him, you got to correct it. It was a giant mistake. And as far as I'm concerned, the Bears shouldn't have got that kick. The game should have been over. Period.
Halftime.
I mean, at halftime.
Yeah.
Should have been over.
Of course.
How do you stop? I believe there wasn't any time left.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
I see what you're saying. But regardless, I mean, here's a guy.
What would I do to the kid if I was a coach?
Yeah.
You got to sit him down.
Oh, my goodness.
Immediately.
They scored, and there was no holding call again. I'm amazed at what these refs are. This is a shocker of shockers.
So Jordan Howard just ran 17 yards basically untouched for 19 yards basically untouched for a touchdown. Mike Tomlin is shaking hands with John Fox, and the Chicago Bears have their first victory of 2017.
How about the first one in the month of September under the reign of terror of John Fox?
Just got John Fox for another 3 years.
Now check this out, though, guys. Watch this last play. Now here's point of the play.
That's holding.
Yes. Referee, this is for the touchdown. Right here,
this is turning
right
into,
now.
That's holding.
I mean, it's insane.
And the ref is right there.
Guys, this is turning into...
You got to be kidding me.
World Wrestling Federation. I'm not kidding you. I mean, hey.
Jesus.
The Bears win today.
I'm happy. I'm thrilled. But go on.
It's a W. It's in the books. First one in September in the John Fox era. But I got to tell you, I mean, I just, you know, at some point, you know, you try to think, okay, this is a way things should kind of play out and all that. But I got to tell you, hey, they won today, but they got a lot of help. They got a lot of help. You know what I'm saying? There was a PI call early on. There was a roughing the quarterback call that wasn't roughing the quarterback. There was, some other calls. But ultimately, hey, all I can tell you is, you know, and just to kind of tag on the Marcus Cooper Sr. little debacle where he blooper. He shut down during the course of an NFL play. I don't know if I've ever seen that. You know, I know that, you know, some of the other showboat guys over the years have done that, and they show it, you know, so many times on instant replay that I think anybody with any kind of aptitude would say, the last thing I ever want to do is be caught guilty of that and, you know, make myself look like a fool by somebody else, like the Leon Lett play and all that crap from 20 years ago. And yet, here we go. One of the players the Bears signed out of free agency, Marcus Cooper Sr., he does it. And as you said, OB, you know, it was a very liberal interpretation by the officials.
Oh, my Lord.
That gave us a gift of 3 points.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. You know, you've heard me talk about this John Fox and his staff, his position coaches. I can guarantee you get a high school coach on. When they go with the receivers, they have to know the rules, especially where you're out of bounds or near out of bounds, what the rules are. And what do you think the thing is that they tell them the most? Go to the end zone. You run into the end zone. It doesn't matter if you're a defensive back or an offensive back or a receiver. This guy, don't tell me somebody in that coaching staff never told him what to do, because only a moron would make a move like he did.
But, you know, I think it is just basically an indicator of the very lackadaisical
coaching,
bumbling style of this team.
Yep.
You know, blown plays don't matter. Hey, we congratulate guys that get their ass whipped on a block. We don't challenge them and say that's not good enough. You know, I saw the other players over there patting the guy on the back. I would have been punching him in the throat. I would be saying, "What are you doing?
What are you doing? I mean, absolutely nuts."
Again, I'm mystified by the whole thing.
Well, damn it, we finally won a football game at home in front of these fans that have been standing behind this ill-coached team. And I'm so happy for the fans, and actually happy for the players.
Yep.
I just hope we didn't get Fox an extension.
I don't think we did. 23-17, the final in overtime. Bears beat the Steelers. We are with you till 6. 312-981-7200. Jump on in. 312-981-7200. Let's celebrate a Bears victory. The Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. We'll give you some of the numbers coming on back here and take your reaction. Mike Glennon, well, there's...
No, I've got 3 hours of Mike Glennon, and it's not good.
720 WGN and CLTV.
To miss anything this year. That was blocked. The Bears have it. The Bears are going to get a touchdown out of this. Now they're ruling. Let's see what they rule in the end zone. There's a penalty marker down.
I think that ball was knocked out before he crossed the goal line. At least from here, he relaxed too much before he crossed the goal line.
He did slow down, did he not? And that's just a bad play. It's a horrible play.
He didn't slow down. He stopped. I thought he had narcolepsy, honestly. I thought he went to bed. I thought Marcus Cooper...
I like that word. Narcolepsy.
Did
not what it looked like.
Right?
He was, I think he was
like a sniper fired. You shot him, you know, and he shut down. Shut down. Hey, and see, and folks, the reason we're so flabbergasted and outraged about this is you got all these players playing hurt, playing with, you know, sprained shoulders and wrist, and it's 93 degree, and then you get somebody that's showboating, and it creates a situation where this game, if he would have just gave a little more effort, it would have never went into overtime. And who's to say that Jordan Howard didn't blow out his leg in overtime? Or that Tariq Cohen wouldn't have, you know, pulled a hamstring and had to miss him? All these things, there are contingencies that would have been taken care of if one player guts it and gives effort, which he didn't, which makes me want to vomit.
Dan, what it comes down to, you played the game long enough. Glenn, you played it. I played it long enough. For God's sakes, Pop Warner football, you learn that. On both sides of the ball, you got, run into the end zone. I mean, for this guy to make – and by the way, this kid got away with a couple of huge penalties. Huge penalties. Cooper Sr., 27 years old. Where's Junior?
Happen OB Show with Cos presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's do the Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. I stopped by Mueller the other day, OB.
Did you?
Yeah, so it was funny. I stopped by Mueller. It was Rosh Hashanah, right? And I'm driving out to the suburbs, and the light comes on in my car. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to be right by Mueller. I'm going to drop off the thing. So I drop it off. I'm like, hey, can you give me a ride to to the country club where they're having the service?
Sure.
So I'm in there. I'm like, so do you know Ed Obradovich? Oh yeah, I know OB. He's great. He comes by, tells stories. It's great. I'm like, yeah. You ever listen to his radio show? He's like, yeah, no, not really. I'm like, really? Come on. It's on 720 WGN with Dan Hampton and a guy by the name of Glenn Kozlowski and some other doof that's in there saying something. So at any rate, he had no idea, but I promoted the show. I think he's listening now.
Well, that's great. But Mike Mueller's, he's been firing at me with texts.
Oh, yes?
You know, so Dan, you're going to go with the Mueller moment?
Well, absolutely. And it was very fortuitous that things did turn out the way they did because we were able to secure at least a field goal after the bumbling of Marcus Cooper Sr.
and
then
I don't understand.
And then Charles Leno Jr. jumping off sides on a you know, goal to go, one play, 6-inch touchdown attempt where he jumps off sides. Now we have to kick a field goal. Well, without that blocked field goal, returned, strip, penalty, field goal, we would not have been in overtime and we would not have won this game.
312-981-7200. There were other plays in the game outside of Marcus Cooper Sr. Mike Glennon on the day, 15-22, 101 yards. That's 4.6 average, OB.
It's pathetic. And let me just tell you this. So
it's
many
horrible
times during the course of the game, well, he threw an interception that was just god-awful accuracy. Should have had another one in the fourth quarter that would have, you know, basically sealed our fate. But time and time and time again, there was 8-9 in the box because of the running game now was working, and he refused to check off and try and make something happen in certain matchup situations where the corners were 9, 10, 11 yards off the line of scrimmage and off the receiver. And yet, out of fear, he ran the play into an 8-9 man box.
Hey, Glenn, you pointed out when in overtime, we get to run into the end zone.
Deontay Thompson.
That was the holding. Glenn, you got to talk about
it. I mean,
that
it was...
If you run it back, if you saw it, he tackled this guy and swung him back around, and the referee, you see, is right there, standing right there.
And that's point blank. I mean, that's where he goes into the end zone to score.
The cornerback right was there. Tackled on the Terry Cohen's big run where he had to, where he stepped out. He was the corner forced, and he was tackled by a receiver. By the way, you know how many balls our receivers caught today? What was it, 1 for 9 yards?
Let's take a look here.
Not many.
Well, okay, Zach Miller had a catch. That's not a receiver. Adam Sheen had a touchdown catch, not a receiver. Marcus Wheaton was targeted twice, didn't catch either of them. That was bad. Deontay Thompson's your one catch from a wide receiver day, 1 for 9 yards.
There you go. And this quarterback keeps his job because of this backdoor win today.
Well, let me tell you something. That just goes back to last year. And I remember I was on the Rokan show, And we had talked about it, and Glenn had talked about it. Last year, our receiving core, it was so bad, and it was like, and I preface it by saying, this is a hard statement that I'm going to make, you know, just a real hard thing to say, but our receivers shouldn't even be in this league. I'm going to tell you what, folks. Last week I gave you all about the stats. We have one player from Green Bay that caught more catches for more yards, and we had a total of 7 touchdowns with a wideouts, and he had 14 touchdowns. This is one receiver for one team. Our entire pass receiving core couldn't even match in the season. That is unbelievable, folks. You can't make these statistics up. This is, I don't know what you say, Glenn.
There's a lot to be desired. And you know, the way I always looked at it, the one thing I'll say, if you're a wide receiver or any player, if they're not going to call it, then you do it, right? I mean, so the holding, as blatant as it was, hey, the refs weren't calling it, so you hang on and hold. I mean, that's what you do. So here's what I'll say. Bears won, and we'll say the same thing when we deal, you know, on the losses as well. It's about winning and losing. And today, the bumbling loafer got his team to, you know, close the deal at the end of the game, even though they made a lot of mistakes along the way. And the worst one was the kid. See, here's the problem. You know, the dancing in the end zone and all that. Now they've added that new element to the game. They were even showing these commercials about what kind of dance are you going to do in the end zone. So I think the kid was going to stop and then fall into the end zone, and he got burned doing it.
312-981-7200. Let's take a couple calls. Look, if you want a showboat, at least do a good showboat. That wasn't even that. You went to bed. Well, it wasn't even a showboat.
Mark, you would go to the callers. There's no sense to even talk about that kid. Okay.
Yeah.
What he
I
does
agree.
was so. I mean, it's beyond. There are no words for that kid, okay?
I got a feeling
outside of stupid.
I got a feeling some people are going to want to talk about Marcus Cooper Sr. Hey, Bill, welcome to 720 WGN and CLTV until 4 o'clock. Go ahead, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, guys. Hey, Kaz, you guys were the baddest dudes on the planet back in '85, and you played the game the way it's supposed to be played. OB, you were great. You're a little before my time, but you're great in Brian's song. But I just want to let you know that, Hamp, I don't know why you don't coach the NFL, because your passion is unbelievable. It's not a coaching move, Kaz, right now. It's the culture of these players. John Fox shouldn't babysit a $5 million a year player and say, run in the gut, go do a Lambeau leap. You know, that's not coaching. That's just how these kids are taught before they get to the NFL. It's the guy Ryan Pace signing these clowns who are, you know, they're me. Dan Hampton would make a sack and he'd go hit Steve McMichael in the head harder than he just laid out the Green Bay Packers. You don't see that. You see Willie Young with his fishing pole. You see, you know, all these guys that just can't wait to be in the spotlight. Kaz, when you make your tackles on special teams, you wouldn't go and say, look at me. You'd go and you'd look for the first teammate. That's just how it is nowadays. I just don't get it. It's frustrating. The play calling is brutal. You know, why we run the ball a yard, then 2 yards, and throw a 3-yard pass?
All right, Bill. Let our guys respond. Appreciate the call, man.
All right. Hey, Bill, thank you so much for the wonderful compliments. But, you know, the overarching point that the three of us want to emphasize is that Willie and the fishing rod and the showboating, and when Cohen actually, you know, scores there at the end of the game, he takes off running away from his teammates. So it's more about him than it is the team winning. So you understand? He made a play. It's about him, not the team. So all these things come into the equation where you are not taught, and it is emphasized that the team comes first, that it is far and away superseding anything individual. And that's why I call Fox, you know, the bumbler. Because everything he does, everything this team does, it's in a bumbling fashion. Today, this was hey, it's a win, but it was a pathetic win. Pittsburgh and the officials gave it to you. And you know what? It took us to get to overtime. But the ultimate point is all these other things are bothering me. Yeah, it's one win. We're 1-2. But we cannot think about winning and winning big and winning championships until we correct all this other stuff.
Wait a minute. I just say, Bill, I hope you're still listening. I want to thank you for mentioning Brian's song, which was one of the great movies about athletes, our own dear Brian Piccolo. And I was in the movie. And, Bill, I'd like to, in case you forgot or didn't know, I was up for an Emmy. Okay? It was, what are you laughing at?
I'm mad that you didn't win it.
Hold it. I was up for an Emmy. It was me against Robert De Niro. Don't laugh. It was me against Robert De Niro to see who was going to win the Emmy. When the vote, final votes came in, it was 5,000,001 to 1. He just narrowly nipped me at the wire.
Because you didn't get to vote more than once, right?
Hey, this is okay. Hey, Brian's song was on a week ago tomorrow night. It was 2 weeks ago Monday night. Little Dan had never seen it. And I said, come here. OB's in this movie. Butkus is. Anyway, it was great. We watched it. OB was fantastic. But it was a great movie.
And he almost won an Emmy.
Oh, it was. You know what? The guy, he edged me out.
I mean, I thought that Ham was just talking about, it's about the team and everything else, and you just start, you know, you're all about you and your Emmy.
That's too bad, okay? Bill brought it up, and I just like to expand upon it.
It was a little
bit.
Cooper Senior-ish, OB.
He didn't stop at the goal line, though, okay? He ran through it and was right. Celebrating.
That's right.
312-981-7200.
At least finished the job, right, Ed?
Is OB Cooper Senior. Let's get mad at let's get mad at Wrigleyville here. What's up, Matt? Welcome to WGN.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. OB, it is a complete honor to speak to you. Carm, it's an honor every week.
Right back at you, kiddo.
So here's my question. When is Roger Goodell going to pull up his pants, walk into the Bears locker room, pick John Fox up by the back of his pants, toss him out like a drunk through the door, and declare Ed Obradovich is the new coach?
Because that would be a bad move.
We need you, sir. We need you terribly. We need somebody with a brain. And I'm not saying John Fox doesn't have a brain. I just don't think it's football inclined. He has no idea what he's doing, and we could win the Super Bowl.
Hey,
and it would still
Matt.
Be terrible because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Hey, Matt, Hamp asked a simple question today, and we had to laugh and think about it. He said, if you pulled up and you saw John Fox standing there, would you throw him the keys to park your car? And I'm thinking, no. I think I'd go find a place and park it myself because I wouldn't want that bumbling loafer parking my car.
Well, what you see in the first three games, and again, congrats on the win today. But, boy, if you know anything about this game of football, we make a lot of mistakes, folks, in the offensive line. And we make a lot of mistakes in our patterns and our receiving patterns. And defensively, we make a lot of mistakes. All this stuff should not be happening in the third game of the National Football League. Same damn thing last year. Same damn thing 3 years ago. Okay? And what's that a reflection on? It's a reflection on coaching, folks. Please believe me when I tell you that. The position coaches have to go through A, B, C, D all the way across on whatever is happening on that football field, what their job is, where there are to be, and what the hell the rules are of this game. They've got to know the rules of this game.
And just to emphasize that point, after our wonderful halftime adjustments by the Bumbler, this is how our drives finished in the second half of this ball game: a punt, a fumble, a punt, an interception, and two punts.
Well, that's a adjustment, Dan.
Our lack of.
Let's get one more call in here. 312 and a bunch more. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number as Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let me get our guy Calvin in here, always a Hall of Fame caller. What's up, Calvin? Welcome
to the show. Guys. What's up today?
How are you, Calvin? We're a little happier. The Bears won,
it's a
right?
Great day when you wake up and your head is above ground, man. But I'll tell you something. Listen, Jordan Howard finally showed me something today. That's a true grit of Bears football. He came out there hurt, but he still played. The defense kept us in it for a minute during the first quarter and stuff, but I'm still scratching my head, OB. You know, and besides, I want to tell you something. I saw Brian's song, but I was out at the championship game in 63 when you beat the Jazz 14-10. Hey, guys, I'm real happy. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Calvin. It's a rarity that we get a happy Calvin. Well, we just got a happy Calvin.
Well, he was, and then he mentioned Brian's song again. You know, it's
and a win.
Hard
and
to be humble when you're a
listen. That's twice
TV star.
Now. In the first hour, we have already heard about his Oscar nomination, his Emmy win, and
Oscar's coming.
Oscar's next.
Oscar's coming.
OB is the MVP. I think the camera should just be on OB.
Or can we at least adjust the lights so they just beam directly on him?
Maybe we can get him to sing before the end
of the show.
Get a grab.
Carried. It's too far. Okay.
Grammy Awards here. Never know. Quick timeout. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win, 23-17 in overtime. They will not go winless in 2017.
Yep.
How's that?
Well, congratulations to them, damn it. They finally won a game by hook or crook, but they won.
Yeah, first win in September since 2000, guess what, Trestman 14.
Who, by the way, started 3-0 before it went awry with Mark Trestman. The Pittsburgh Steelers, guys, 15 losses now. Over six seasons to teams with a combined record of 25-89.
We don't care about Pittsburgh. Hey, look, I'm just telling
that's
you.
That's an astonishing
it is,
isn't it? Stat. It but really is.
They play down. Everybody
they play
knows
down
it.
On the
sloppy.
Road.
They were sloppy. Hey, it was 93 degrees. They've got an excuse. They can go in there and go, oh, yeah, well, we were on the road. We had turnovers. You know, that first within the first 5 minutes, we all looked at each other and said, Bears are going to win this game because, you know what, Pittsburgh wasn't in it. The punt returner muffed it right into the kid's hands and for the first turnover. They had some sloppy running plays. It wasn't long at all before the Bears basically exerted themselves. And, hey, the officials helped them all the way to the goal line.
Well, you know, again, looking at the Steelers, I mean, I couldn't believe what I saw out there. Wow. I mean, they must have took lethargic pills or something before the game. I mean, I'm sure the people that went there probably saying the same thing. These are the Steelers, and they're 2-0.
Well, Pittsburgh is, a lot of people think Pittsburgh's going to come out of the AFC. I think you think that, Hamp, right?
I picked them and Green Bay to be the contender. You know, you got to pick somebody. But let me just tell you this. I had to drop little Dan off and all that. There's a ton of Steeler fans.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they probably had 10, 12, 15,000 fans in town going to the game. Boy, they've got to be really upset after what they saw.
They were quiet. They had nothing to cheer about.
The Bears ran it today, a total of 38 times for 220 yards. That's nearly 6 yards a carry. That's obviously excellent, and that's why they won the football game.
Ultimately, that's why they won.
But we'll come back, take a ton of your calls here right after 4 o'clock. Thank you to our friends at CLTV. And, of course, we're with you on 720 WGN all the way until 6. And a reminder that Nationwide is on your side. Locally, that's our Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
Our man Vuk. Jeff personalizes your insurance needs. He's been doing that for decades. Simply click to jeffvuk.com. Vuk is on your side.
I just talked to him this past week.
You talked
to Vuk
this week? Yeah.
This game is not a running. Okay, we're not going to go from week to week to week running the football and win. When we pass for 101 yards, and this is a passing league, guys, it's not going to happen.
You don't think that's going to work up in Green Bay Thursday night?
No. You got to throw the damn football to win constantly and continually in this National Football League.
I told you the next hour, we got to break this whole Glennon nightmare down. It was bad.
Let's
do it,
folks. Do that coming back at 4, 720 WGN.
Touchdown wins the game, field goal, and we keep going. Howard left side, to the 10, to the 5, game over.
Jordan Howard, the game winner. As the Bears are on the board in 2017, 23 carries, 138 yards, the game-winning touchdown in overtime Two touchdowns total on the day. The Bears are 1-2. This part of the Hamp and OB show with Kaz, sponsored by Parent Petroleum, 312-981-7200. Yes, OB.
Congratulations to Howard for coming back after two games where he was invisible. And to come in today at home and gain that amount of yardage and that many carries and be a pivotal part of a victory, that's great.
Hopefully he talked to the reporters today, too.
That's an interesting point, that Jordan Howard has been avoiding the very tough, very probing Chicago press corps who want to ask him super hard questions like,
how's your shoulder?
Why are you playing so poorly? Is the offensive line killing you? By the way, before we get to the calls, which we'll do in 1 second, Kyle Long back out there today, guys. It's been a long recovery for him, nearly over a year.
He made it through. That's about it.
Right. Right. Okay.
And look, the line was spectacular today, because when you have your running backs doing what they did in overtime, they didn't throw a pass. They just ran it right down the field.
Average per carry for 220 yards. That's green grass anywhere. Yep.
But if you looked at the game, if you looked at the 8 and 9 gap on strong and weak sides, you could run there all day. Somebody figured it out, and that's where we ran. That's where he gained his yardage, between the 8 and 9 gap. I can't believe it. Pittsburgh had nobody in there to fill a gap.
Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. You guys want to give it to Jordan Howard?
Absolutely. Yes.
And, and I'm saying, okay, well, he's got a shoulder. Okay. We saw him being pulled up by his arms.
Yeah, you and I
talked number of occasions.
That.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, I've had those shoulders. I'm like, okay. Either way, he ran with purpose today. The offensive line gave him ample opportunity. And you got to tip the cap to Cohen. People on the outside are scared of him, and so they're not forcing quite so readily. And that creates, a split-second crack that he was able to exploit today.
312-981-7200. Tariq Cohen almost had the game winner in overtime, but he stepped out of bounds, so Jordan Howard took care of it for him. Steve on the south side wants to talk about the quarterback. Go ahead, you're on 720 WGN, Steve.
Yeah, we got to have the worst reacting quarterback in the league. It just seems like this guy, he can't get out of a play action pass. Today, the man got fooled, and he had time enough to turn around, realize the running back didn't have the ball, turned around and sacked him on the interception he almost threw. If you look at the play, and if you look at the two he did in the two previous games, you will see that when he should have threw the ball, he was a second behind the play. The defender had already made a step toward the man to intercept the ball by the time he released it.
Absolutely.
I just don't think this guy.
Absolutely.
I don't think he can react to the plays.
Thanks,
that's
Steve.
Happening in front of him.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, Steve, you are exactly correct. And here's we hear since we're little kids, the quarterback is reading the coverage. He's going through his progression. They use all the – well, this bum is not doing any of that. He is predetermining at the line of scrimmage where he thinks there's going to be an opportunity for him to throw the ball. Now, he threw it. Zach Miller, I think, was running an option route. Was he not, Cause?
Yes.
And he determined he was going to
run an option route right out of the stadium.
Yeah, we ought to option him back to Tampa. But here's the thing. And everybody goes, they won. Why are you being so rude? Why are you being – folks, it's like going to a NASCAR race and you got a jalopy and it makes it around the track and you're happy. No. This guy is killing us. He's crippling our offense. We could be a contender. We got a running game. We've got some things happening when we don't even have receivers. That's how bad this guy is. That we need every break possible. And as Steve also, his reads are horrible. His accuracy, very poor. But most importantly, he has no dimension of escapability. He has no skills in the pocket to avoid pressure, the rush, all that. And if we were waiting on, let's just say, Matt Barkley on the bench, that'd be one thing. But we all know who's over on the bench that we want to see. And in games like this where he bombs so so badly. We're I got tears in my eyes saying, how can you keep this guy in there?
Dan, would it be fair to say you don't particularly care for Glennon? Would that be a fair statement?
That would be a fair one.
That would be a fair one.
I think so.
Well, they're up in Green Bay Thursday night, and I don't think anyone's picking the Bears to win that game. But after that, they got the Vikings at home, which is a winnable game, at Baltimore. Got smoked today by Jacksonville.
Did you see what Minnesota did today?
Minnesota was...
They won with Case Keenum.
They have Case Keenum.
Right.
Against the Bucks, but they lost last week to the Steelers 26-9. I'm sorry. The Vikings at home on a Monday night is a winnable game. Is that totally unfair?
That we beat them last year. They were 5-0. I was at the game. We got after them. We beat them at the line of scrimmage. So, yes, that's very winnable.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not listening.
But here's my point.
Okay.
Who's the quarterback? Last year, Hoyer won that game. Hoyer was in. Cutler was out.
That's what I'm saying. You go up to Green Bay. Glennon has one more dud. Then you got all the way till next Monday to get Trubisky ready. And
why
let's roll.
Wait? Why wait?
I agree with you. Put him on, but they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Nope. Ed answered that already last week in a really Emmy approach, I would say. Yeah, the way you brought it and the way you broke it down. He set the table. He laid it out and he fed us.
Better than De Niro.
What do you mean by nominating? You mean it should be more like winning. Winning.
1 to 5 million.
It was so close.
Let's
5 million to 1 to 1. He caught me, nipped me at the wire.
Let us move along here. Who's on line two here? I can't see these names, Geez. I know that you're in Streamwood and you want to talk about John Fox. What's your name there, sir?
John.
John, go ahead, man.
Listen, when Cooper fumbled that ball and it went out of the end zone, Fox is asking the officials for a safety.
I know.
As a head coach, doesn't he know Pittsburgh had to have had possession of the ball for it to be a safety? He's a head coach. He doesn't know. I knew immediately it wasn't a safety.
Right. Great call. First of all, he didn't even know it was a safety.
This is case in point, bumbler evidence, week after week after week. So great call.
His assistant coaches, to add on to it, were saying safety. So they didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
Then he follows them, and none of them have any clue.
Does that surprise you? After sitting here with us for 3 years, we talk about the rules. And who should know the rules? Every position coach, coordinators, and the head coach on that damn football team should know exactly every rule.
You know, and folks, let me just say this. OB has been around this game a long time. And his respect for the rules. I'll be honest with you. I was a little bit of a left field. I kind of hate the rules kind of thing, you know. Oh, you mean you can't hit the quarterback? OB, from early on, has always maintained, if you don't know the rules, then you are a loser.
You don't know the game.
You can't play the game.
No, you can't.
And he has been maintaining that the offensive pass is the key to success in the NFL. Oh, yeah, everybody
because
wants to
rules.
Run.
Right.
But the rules state that the quicker you wake up and say, I'm embracing the throwing game and becoming proficient at it, the quicker you become a winner. That's why I keep beating the drum about Glennon and the bumbler. I mean, we have such impediments, even though how do we win a game like this? I don't know. I mean, hey, it's crazy.
Let me tell you something. Again, I said this a little bit ago, folks. We run for 220 yards, and here's the main stat. We passed for 101 yards in four quarters of National Football League, where the rules dictate and tell you, you guys throw the football, it's there. And I will tell you this. Now tell it to Fox right to his face and his genius offensive coordinator. There's no way in God's green earth, sir, that you're going to win week in and week out, and you will never get to the Super Bowl. Throwing 101 yards, not a chance, John Fox.
Yeah, but hold on a second.
There's nothing to hold on.
Well, they did hold, and they got away with it today, too, why they were able to run successfully.
Let's try that week in and week out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay? Those calls usually go against you. You know, they'll call point of the play
tackles. You can't
throw
for 101 yards in four quarters in the NFL today, the way it's set up,
right,
and win. It's next to impossible.
Yeah, but OB,
so we won today.
Yeah, but OB, you're talking about Mike Glennon, a quarterback. You're talking about receivers who can't catch the ball.
I don't give a damn. Then why? What are they doing on this football team? What are those receivers doing on this football team?
That's a great point.
It's a fair question.
What is Mike Glennon doing on this football team?
We waited all year for
Marcus. That's my answer. That's my answer back to you.
Right.
What are they doing?
We waited all year for Marcus Wheaton to come back from a pinky operation, and what do we get? Zero.
I completely agree with all of it, but if I'm John Fox and I'm trying to win a football game and I've got Glennon as my quarterback and whoever at wide receiver, Marcus Wheaton, Deontay Thompson, who can't catch the football, I'm probably running as much as they did.
Wait a minute.
The only way can win.
Let me say this. Not that you're wrong, okay, when you said trying to win a football game. That's not the point. When you start out every year, there's only one thing, one goal, Super Bowl. Look at Green Bay, their coach and their player. Look at New England. You know what they talk about from year to year going into it? They're talking about getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. We're talking about winning the damn football game once in a while.
Well, now
that's not the way you play in this game, and that's why you're not a world champion.
Now that we're hitting that pay dirt here, which is the top of the food chain on down, but it's also, to your point, that's why they went out and drafted Trubisky, because they're looking for that guy, right?
Well, yeah, then what the hell did they go out and get Glennon for? And free agency signed him to 45-point-some-odd million, and this year guarantee him 18.5. You explain that one to me.
I can't explain that.
And
to you.
They didn't sign any wide receivers. I mean, you knew going in you did not have a quality group of wide receivers.
They signed Reuben Randle.
Some of these
Marcus
kids shouldn't
Wheaton,
even be in a league.
And Wright.
Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright. And Julio Cruz or whatever his name is.
Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz. I like to call him.
And by Victor far, was. He was the best receiver in the preseason. He's not on the team anymore.
Julio Cruz scored the winning run in 83 for the winning ugly sock, which is a great moment in time in the sports city history. And by the way, the Cubs beat the Brewers today 5-0. Their magic number's down to 2.
Marcus, let me pop it again.
Yeah.
The word is every year you start out at Super Bowl, it's not trying to win a game or whatever. Can we win another game? Boy, if that's your philosophy, get out of this game. And if you're an owner – and that's how you believe, get out of the game. You're a general manager. You believe that way, just trying to win a game. Get out of the game.
I'm with you, OB. I feel you. Hey, quick timeout, 312-981-7200. We'll go through your calls coming back. You're Adam Hoge from Soldier Field at 435. We're going to hear from John Fox. We'll hear from other people who said something minorly interesting from the locker room as well. 720 WGN.
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win in overtime. 1-2 on the year. And good news, Green Bay's losing 21-7 to the Bengals, which is kind of stunning. Pick six thrown by Aaron Rodgers. William Jackson III took it to the house.
He's done that, though, a couple of times now this year already, early. Seattle, he caught the break in Seattle where they, up in Green Bay where he threw the pick and they roughed up a guy so it came back.
I was impressed that the Bengal cornerback actually ran the ball all the way, went across the goal line.
Yeah, it was weird because I thought he was thinking about stopping
right.
For a second.
He was going to do the Cooper Blooper Senior. Hey, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoStore.com today. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN till 6. David in a car, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to get your opinion. Number one, Kaz, I was wondering what your 40 time is now, because the Bears could use a guy that could catch a ball over the middle. And who your top three names are on your short list for Fox's replacement?
Okay, my 40 time is a sundial. So, and I could not move any further than about 2.5 feet. And my short list goes like this: Mike McCoy, Mike McCoy, Mike McCoy. That's what I'm saying as a head coach.
Hamp, who are you hiring right now? You like Mike McCoy too, don't you?
I just think with the young man, aching for a lot of a lot of knowledge, and just look what McCoy's been able to do. I mean, wherever he's been, and yeah, I just think he'd be a brilliant head coach.
Well, and he's a tremendous quarterback coach also. You know, I mean, he does a nice job with his quarterbacks.
Hey, Phillip Rivers was a damn good quarterback. He got better.
Right.
A lot better.
Look at Simeon from Northwestern. I mean, this kid looks like he is, he's a Pro Bowler this year, the way he's playing for Denver.
Not so much today.
No, I understand. Right, right.
David, appreciate the call.
Hey, take care, Dave, guys.
You guys want my opinion who I think would be make a great head coach back here?
Mm-hmm.
Dave wants that.
Come on.
And then if not him, then Lovey.
Come on.
No, serious.
He's mocking us.
Give him the second and third chance.
All you're saying is just give him a chance.
Is this building crumbling?
Just give him a shot.
Is this building
Guys,
shaking?
You're being far too critical. Give him a chance.
Yeah, that's right. You're being far too critical.
What about a Dick Turan? Let's get Dick Turan back here.
Oh, my God, Dick Turan. But I'll tell you what these two gentlemen are talking about, Mike McCoy, I think this that move should be in the works right now.
Bring back Ditka. He's not.
Fine.
I mean, hey, just look.
But Mike McCoy is the guy.
It's a passing league, like Ed has been pointing out, and these are the kind of head coaches you need, those innovative guys that can see the field. And you got this young stud quarterback that you're trying to develop.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens with John Fox and Ryan Pace at the end of the year. Hey, Bob and Mundelein, thanks for being patient. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Yes, taxi driver Bob. How are you guys doing today?
Go ahead, hanging in there, Bob.
I think that they should bring back Gabe Gibron. But anyway, we know now, fellas. We know what the SR stands for on Cooper's jersey. Stupid and ridiculous. I tell you, unbelievable. I was going nuts. I damn near lost my mind. I could just picture Hamp and Kaz. If Ditka was the head coach on the team today, he would point to Cooper, motion him to come to him, and throw his gum on the ground, because when he would start yelling, that he would swallow his gum, and he would be barking at him, grabbing his face mask, telling him that if he ever did that again, he'd take a size 12 shoe and go straight up his keister all the way to his tongue, and it would say Florsheim on there.
Well, there's another.
Oh, he would have cut him.
In today's market, there's one other coach that would not tolerate that in a New York minute. Would not tolerate. That's Bill Belichick of New England.
Yes.
He would not tolerate that stupidity. He would not be on the team. I would guarantee you.
Mike Tomlin was on the other sideline today. Wouldn't tolerate it either. I wouldn't think.
He's solid also.
But, you know, I hate to say it, it's so pervasive in society. There was a commercial on, some idiotic, horrible commercial, where some little girl's playing with water and gets it all over the room and the floor. When I was a little kid, I would have had my head knocked off if I spilled anything. And yet it was almost like the mom was, oh, it's all good, it's all fine. You know, it's almost this level of tolerance. And for the kid, for the Cooper blooper to shut down inside the 10 and be stripped is, I mean, that's it's beyond unacceptable. It would have been unthinkable on our teams.
What should have happened is this. And when that was over with and he came on the sidelines and his players are patting him on the back, it's wonderful and everything. What should have happened, folks, and believe me, this is the way it should have happened. The position coach grabs him, pulls him on the side, sits him on the bench wherever he takes him, and he straightens his act out right then and there. Did that happen?
Nope. I don't believe so.
No, it didn't.
We're going to hear from Adam Hoge, who was at Soldier Field, and perhaps talk to Marcus Cooper Sr. after the football game.
By the way, McManus was the young man that blocked that
what
kick.
What a great
that made the whole thing possible.
And he had a great recovery.
He had a big game. He had a big day.
He's been solid. Really, the entire time.
Great, you know, he just
special
he plays
teams.
Hard, but he just plays hard. And he goes hard all the time, and he just works hard.
Go Cats. Good Wildcat out there. All right, Adam Hoge from Soldier Field next, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
You talk to Adam Hoge out at Soldier Field in a matter of moments here. Thanks again to Mr. Submarine. Add a bag of Frito-Lay chips and an ice-cold RC Cola. Make it a value meal. Visit MrSubmarine.com. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN. We're presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Bears, a winner today, 23-17 in overtime. Huge day for Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen as the Bears got it done on the ground. And as we wait for Adam, a couple scores real quick here. Number one, Green Bay is losing to the Bengals right now, 21-7.
And getting spanked.
6 minutes to go in the second quarter. Before
21-7, isn't it?
21-7 Cincinnati. 6 minutes to go, second quarter. Let's go out to Soldier Field. A lot going on here. Adam Hoge jumping on from Soldiers as he was just in the locker room. Everybody wants to know what Marcus Cooper Sr. had to say for himself. Adam, why don't we start there?
Well, I mean, he took responsibility for it. I don't know what else he's supposed to say. He clearly made a boneheaded play. Quite possibly the stupidest play I've ever seen.
You guys
have seen more football than I have. That was pretty bad.
Well, what made it so, it was like he was planning his celebration. Did he say that he was going to stop and fall into the end zone? I mean, what, or did he just say it was stupid?
He thought he was already in.
That's what he said?
Yeah, he thought he was already in the end zone. So I don't know if that makes it even dumber, but it was a tough play for. I'll tell you what some other guys said about it though, because I talked to Vance McDonald, the Steelers tight end, who was the one who stripped him at the 1 yard line on that play, and he didn't hold back. McDonald said, "quote That was very unprofessional to slow down the way he did."
Right.
Good for Vance McDonald not stopping on the play. What did John Fox have to say about it?
To be honest, guys, a lot going on. I was not in the press conference room today. I was running between the Steelers locker room, the Bears locker room, and because the game ended so late, I'm just being honest with you guys, haven't had time to go back to the podium stuff yet. So in terms of things that Fox said today and Mike Glennon, you probably know more than I do at this point.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, did any of his teammates comment on Marcus Cooper Sr.?
I talked to a bunch of guys about this today. I talked to Sherrick McManus, who was the one who blocked the field goal and then was running behind Cooper and just said, "Hey, I mean, you got to get through." I don't know what all these guys are supposed to say. I mean, obviously their teammate made a dumb mistake. Purnell came out maybe the strongest and said, "Hey, we got to finish plays." Kind of hinting that there's been way too much of this stuff over the last few years. I mean, just guys not finishing plays. And there was other moments of that today. I don't know how many opportunities they had, not to get sidetracked, but they must have had five or six opportunities to intercept Ben Roethlisberger today.
Right.
And they just couldn't do it. I mean, these are the types. This game really, as much as I didn't think the Bears would even be close, I thought the Steelers would win easily. The Bears could have won by a lot more today. They missed a lot of opportunities in this game, the Marcus Cooper play being the biggest, but he dropped an interception later. Other guys dropped interceptions, and this really could have been an easier victory. Should have been easier. Certainly should never have been in overtime. But just the fact they managed to win it, there's been so many games like this where they've failed to do that. So at the end of the day, they did pull out the W.
And they did. I'll tell you, they caught a lot of breaks, too, from the refereeing crew that probably don't know the rules of football when it comes to holding. My goodness, those two plays at the end there, you know, the wide receiver tackled the quarterback on the point of the play to free both big runs.
Yeah, I saw the Steelers players complaining about that. That's probably a mistake there. And then on the Marcus Cooper play, I mean, they had the rule wrong. They sent the Steelers to the locker room saying that there wasn't going to be another play. That's the second time we've seen that this year. I don't know if you remember from the preseason game against the Titans, the ball went out of the back of the end zone, and Ed Hockley didn't know it was a safety.
Right. Well, what made this one strange again is the added on penalty, where you know the holder, the kicker had to do was fall on the football, and it would have been that half over. That was it.
Yeah, I think they did get. Obviously, they did get it right in the end because it wouldn't be a safety because the Steelers were on defense at that point.
Right.
Because you changed possession. And yeah, so but then they correctly put it at the one. I can't believe Fox actually decided to go for it there. Oh, there's another guy I talked to. I talked about Charles Leno. I talked to Charles Leno about that play because he just John Fox decides to go for it, and he jumps a false start there. He just said, "I got too anxious." You know, obviously can't do that. I don't know, guys, about what you thought, knowing what the Bears have been doing. Charles Leno may have done them a favor there to kick the field goal.
No doubt.
I wasn't feeling very confident that they were going to get in.
I agree. They were not getting in.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? But you're right. Everything fell perfectly for them to win today. And it had to. I mean, that's the sad part. You know, a game they had in hand from the jump, and they let Pittsburgh climb back in it by their own poor fundamental plays.
Yeah, they played really bad today, the Steelers. There were a lot. I'm sure in Pittsburgh right now, they're probably very upset with how the Steelers, which is something we talked about all week. Like, for whatever reason, the Steelers have a habit of playing down to their competition, especially on the road like this. And, you know, I'll give the Bears credit. They took advantage. But I still go back to the first play of the game. That should have been a touchdown. I mean, this thing could have gone completely different.
Yeah, you're right.
Roethlisberger, Marcus Wheaton was open. And by the way, guys, I don't know if you saw the tapes from when they played the Vikings last week. They were doing that the whole game. I couldn't believe the Bears weren't ready for that on the first play. It, wide open, that should have been 7, and the Bears would have been losing right off the bat.
Martavis Bryant, right? That's who was.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing, you know, obviously, we're ecstatic that finally the Fox regime has a win in the month of September. But all this being said, you know, week after week, year after year, Ed Obradovich maintains that if you do not take advantage of the rules and know the rules and know what is possible and what is optimum as far as we got a quarterback that threw one horrible interception, should have thrown another one or two, and barely got to 100 yards through the air today. We won. You don't see that, but maybe once a year. What are we thinking? Is this just a hang on and let the team flail away while we waste valuable time? You know, you look at New England with the rookie quarterback, Houston, they go to New England today, damn near beat the New England Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions, with a rookie quarterback that was drafted way after the one we drafted. Oh, by the way, Cleveland, they've got a rookie quarterback starting, and they almost went into Indianapolis and beat them today. So it looks to me like other teams have opted for fast forward to the future and let's get on with this thing while we're watching Mike Glennon basically come apart at the seams and destroy most any chance we have of winning. And the team, thanks to the great rushing performance by Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen today, we were able to get a win. Now, is this lost on anybody on the team, or they all just want to shut up and keep moving? What are they doing?
Well, they're still supporting Glennon, at least publicly. But come on, guys. I mean, you guys all play. Everyone's paying attention. It's not just the fans. It's not just the media. The players, and John Fox even said that a few weeks ago. The players in the locker room know. They know what's going on. Do you guys remember 2 years ago when the Bears went to Seattle? I think it was week 2 of the season or week 3, the same time of year, Jay Cutler was hurt. And Jimmy Clausen had to get the start. Jimmy Clausen started the game in Seattle against a really good Seahawks team. Do you guys remember what Adam Gase did? I mean, he basically, they didn't even throw the ball, essentially.
Right, right.
He dialed it back all the way, and essentially they conceded the game because they knew that if they let
Jimmy But wait. That has no relevance. I'm saying, hey, Jimmy Clausen was holding, was the only guy we had. We had to go with him. We never got across the 50-yard line. I remember it. But we didn't have the number 2 draft pick on the bench. My point is, we're letting Glennon waste time and space and plays while Mitch Trubisky is on the bench. Why are they doing that? And the rest of the team, they don't want to say, you know, this is almost, you know, ridiculous that it's unacceptable. We're not playing the guy that gives us a chance to win. Maybe in November and December when we could go somewhere.
Well, that's exactly what I was getting at. I mean, because in that game, you didn't have a choice. You're absolutely right. So here, for 3 weeks, what I was getting at was to basically have put out that Jimmy Clausen playbook,
right,
game plan, with this guy, Mike Glennon, for 3 straight weeks now. But the difference, obviously, being, like you just said, Amp, the number two overall pick standing on the sideline. What I still get back to, and I don't understand, if he's really not ready to, after all this that we've seen from Glennon, then why was he promoted to the backup? Why is he even active?
Right.
Because Mark Sanchez, quite frankly, should have been playing today over Mike Glennon. I mean, that's how bad Glennon's been. You have to then, why isn't Sanchez playing? Someone else should be playing, and if Trubisky's not ready, which, by the way, I think he is, and I think they would have won this game much more easily if he had played, but this is where the logic is lost on me, because if he's not ready, why is he even active? Sanchez should be, and then he should have been the one that came in for Glennon today when Glennon should have been benched, because they couldn't move the ball at all. They weren't even trying to.
Even in overtime, they were just going to run it and try to play field position.
Well, but my point is, Kaiser was a first-round pick. Deshaun Watson was a first-round. But nobody's worried about their long-term psyche. Yeah. They're playing and getting better. And they both almost won on the road today. Yeah. I'm just saying, we're wasting our valuable capital of a football team behind somebody named Mike Glennon that you know and I know, everybody in that team in the locker room, can't wait for the day to come when he's shipped out. But nobody says nothing, and here we go. Yeah, well, they got to win, but let's see what happens come Thursday.
They're just taking Mark.
Obi, Hamp, Kaz, Adam, great points. All right, Hoagie, great stuff. We'll read you at WGNRadio.com, Adam Hoag's Bears blog, and feel free to wax poetic in what you're writing this week about Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky, Adam.
Yeah. I already have a bunch. It's fun.
I know.
Guys, I get it. Hey, one quick injury note. Jordan Howard obviously playing through that shoulder injury today. You give him a lot of credit for toughing it out. However, with the short turnaround to Thursday in Green Bay, we're really going to be watching that closely this week. You hope he can play on such a short turnaround. He certainly toughed it out today, but they need him.
Yeah, but what is the injury, by the way, on that shoulder?
It's a sprained AC joint in his right shoulder.
Okay.
He fell on it a couple times today, which I think aggravated it, but he was able to gut it out. So, yeah.
There you go. Jordan Howard. See if he's out there Thursday night with the Packers, which, by the way, our post-game show Thursday night will be at 10:30 right after the game until midnight. Adam, great stuff.
All right, talk to you guys from Lambeau on Thursday.
Adam Hoag out at Soldier Field. He'll be up in Lambeau, of course, Thursday night. Hey, we'll get to your calls. We're going to hear from John Fox. See what he said about Marcus Cooper since Adam wasn't in there. We'll hear what the head coach had to say.
You know what? Just before that, what I would just wonder is all these newspaper reporters we have and all the TV station reported, I wonder, did one of them ever seek out the receivers or the defensive back coach? And did he ever talk to him and ask him, when he make an interception, if you got it, you run through the end zone? These are things that you have. You cannot assume at a coach in any level that a kid's going to know that or do that. You got to go over. It's a checkpoint. Check it off. Check it off. Check it off. I wonder if anybody asked that defensive back coach, did he go through that situation with them?
Don't know.
Or with his defensive backs.
Right. Don't know the answer to that, OB. And you would think that a guy in the National Football League would know that, but I hear what you're saying.
You're assuming something. Never assume anything at any league, in the National Football League, college, or whatever. You know, a lot of times we're not talking
rules
about.
Rules change, too, differently, too. So what Ed is saying, I mean, this is a checklist of, hey, kid, understand, in the NFL,
here's this, here's that.
This rule's here. This is in play here.
Absolutely. It's the rules. You got to understand the rules.
Our guys didn't. Our coaches were calling for a safety. So our coaches don't know rules.
You know what, Glenn? How embarrassing is that?
They're yelling safety.
You know our listeners out there, think of what just Glenn said. How embarrassing. We got an entire coaching staff doesn't know what the hell happened.
They don't know.
About what I just said.
They don't understand the rules. And I mean, really. And they're the ones that are supposed, and you're telling them, make sure you go over it. What are they going to go over? Things they don't know?
Well, we thought that was a safety, but I don't know.
Danny, what you're saying is true, Glenn. And when I'm saying this, I'm telling you what, folks, this is how you win a world championship, okay? What we do is how we're lucky we win a football game. There's no excuse for this, folks. None.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Before we get to the calls, let us not wait any longer. Let us hear from the head coach of your Chicago Bears. Here is John Fox.
You know, you got to show up every week. You know, our guys, I thought they answered the bell up front. You know, the whole blocking element, whether it's fullback, tight ends, offensive line. You know, we did have a little correction we had to make with Hronis going out. And, again, it was fortunate that Bradley Soule was very prepared and was able to step in without much of a blip.
Roethlisberger and Bell, kind of a check. What was the key defensively?
Well, I mean, a week ago you couldn't really evaluate our defense. You know, I think it was a pretty explosive offense in Tampa, but they had a lot of short fields. I think it was good today. We didn't do that to them. I think we did it once, and they did hold the field goal and sudden change. But all in all, I think our defense was very solid, and they took their shots, and I thought our secondary did a good job of being deep when we needed to be.
The Marcus Cooper situation at halftime, and how do you explain
that? A similar situation that happened a few years ago back in Denver. Actually, it was one of our current players that did something similar. He'll learn from it. Nobody feels worse than he does. Again, it's just a matter of focus and finishing, and he understands that.
Did you understand the original ruling? Did you think immediately, no, that's wrong?
Well, from where we are, we don't have a great view, but, I didn't know he scored or didn't score. I did see him start to let up, which frightened me. But that's made for TV. They ruled it was a fumble. It went into the end zone. Now it became the defense. They batted it out. They can't end the half on a defensive penalty, so they moved it. I moved it out of the one, actually, or at the one, and then they went half the distance. And then we did something clever like false start. But we were able to get 3 points out of it. And, they're never perfect. You strive for it, but it never happens. And, all in all, we were able to come up with a W.
What went into the decision to go for it there at the one, or to try to go for it for the ball?
Well, I mean, it was inside the one. You'd like to think you ought to be able to get that, to get seven. Once that failed, felt better about it at that yard mark than the six or whatever it was. So we just took the field goal.
John, how do you keep that from becoming a deflating moment? You go to halftime up 10, but it could have been.
Well, there are ebbs and tides in every game. It's like life. It just happens. And, our guys, stuck together and hung together. There was never any stuff on the sideline. They just, kept marching.
John, there's a lot going on today before the game with protests and the controversy. There's a report that George McCaskey addressed the players last night.
Mm-hmm.
What impact did that have, and what did he say?
Well, I think, keep things private. Basically, we felt as a team, George included, that it was divisive and disrespectful. I think what we're all about is being united and together. No disrespect to the anthem. Our guys understand the reason why we're called the United States. All we did was there was no disrespect to the anthem. Everybody just locked arms in unity.
John, with Jordan Howard, he came off a couple of different times.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the same right shoulder? And
you'd have to ask him that. I know he was dealing with things. This game is tough. I mean, you got 22 guys out there. Trying to run into each other. So those things happen, but he battled through it. I think he returned every time.
What did you learn about him today?
Well, he's a tough son of a gun. And again, the more you have of those, the better off and the better chances you have to win.
And what was your vantage point on Tariq's big one there to hand? Looked like he may have stayed in. You're closest to it.
Like everything, you have to overcome a lot. I think whether it was blip before halftime, we started the game with a muff punt on their part, a turnover. So, that was how we were able to take the lead. Turnovers bite you. And so, that call, again, you just overcome it. So we got a chance to let Jordan get some yards.
There you go, John Fox out at Soldier Field. And As far as the anthem stuff, the Bears statement was this: the Chicago Bears are proud to support our players, coaches, and all members of our organization to bring peace and unity together through football. What makes this the greatest country in the world are the liberties it was founded upon and freedom to express oneself in a respectful and peaceful manner. Through important dialogue with our players and team, this divisive political situation has unified our franchise for the present and the future. So he was asked about that before the game, The Bears, George would call up his team, the team last night. Fox anticipated that question, and that was a statement from the Bears. I thought it was interesting there that he was trying to have some fun with the Marcus Cooper Sr. reaction. I don't know how you guys heard that, but he had that happen before in Denver. So John Fox's philosophy is basically that to support his players when they make gaffes of Cooper Senior level. I don't know. How'd you hear it?
And basically, it's a way of life in the bungling world of Fox. Hey, it happened in Denver. It happened here. It'll happen next year. It'll happen somewhere down the line, OB, because guess what? The little details just kind of escape him.
Boy, you know, that was really...
ridiculous.
I'm having more of a difficult time with this situation and how we play football, how this team is coached, how it's run. It's I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it's mind-boggling. And to hear an answer, he's trying to make fun of it. There's nothing funny about it. You can die on a football field, okay? And when you got an idiot out there who can't run into the end zone because he's going to stop, and he's going to make some kind of a spectacular hoopla, dumb thing, or what he thinks is a real funny thing. That's not acceptable. It's not funny. It's not anything like that. My God, John.
But John Fox is condoning this by virtue of him basically mocking it and making, you know, light of it and fun of it. Is the other part of this whole thing that just drives the three of us nuts week after week after week. Because, Dan, you know, the things that we know are important and help you win and win championships aren't even thought about or talked about on this team.
What's not funny about it is what I just mentioned. There's serious injuries that happen. Again, you could die. That happened. I played a game in Detroit when a wide receiver by the name of Chuck Hughes dropped dead 10 feet from me. So, and this guy wants to make fun of an idiot that can't figure out with a block punt to run into the end zone. It's not funny. There's 16 games. This is very serious business. And serious people win. John Fox, are you listening?
312-981-7200 is the phone number, by the way, if you'd like to jump in. We got 1 hour to go, and we got a bunch of you on hold that have been waiting patiently, so we'll get to you after the 5 o'clock news. We'll hear more from the Bears locker room as well. They are on the board, winners today, 23-17 in overtime. Yes, OB.
Callers, hang in there.
Yep.
As soon as we come back from the break, we're going to get right to you, promise it.
You got it, 720 WGN.
The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Okay. The defensive star of the game, indeed, OB. It's
Parnell McPhee, he came in fourth quarter, and he had a good pass rush and made a sack at an integral time. So
I would agree. It was a big sack because
it was third down.
And, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But you know what, guys? Everybody, you know, Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown, there's a lot of weapons that our corners had to cover today. And you know what? We need to tell Kyle Fuller that, hey, we appreciate the fact that he played, you know, invisible last year. He came back. He got healthy. And basically, he has taken the starting job away from Prince.
He has.
Amukamara. And he played great today, and he fought. He fought him hard, and I don't know. He and Callahan, I mean, I tell you what, the coverage today was pretty darn good on those kids.
Even though
Antonio Brown had over 100 yards, but, I mean, he gets that in pregame. You know?
So we'll give it to Kyle Fuller.
And you mentioned Callahan. I mean, he strip-sacked Roethlisberger. That was a moment today,
right? Yeah.
I mean,
the kid, you know, he made some plays.
You're talking about a 5'9".
The corners made some plays today.
Yeah, I mean, 5'9", 190-pound Bryce Callahan stripping 240-pound Brett
Lowe. And the Cooper blooper was he's a corner, too.
Yeah.
And McManus is the backup corner. So our little guys on defense made a lot of plays today.
They made a lot of plays. And they had between them, they had 9 tackles, well, Fuller and Callahan.
They got defensive star of the game is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com OB. You good? All right. 312-981-7200. Ray is in Albany Park, my neck of the woods in the city. What's up, Ray?
How you doing? I was kind of hoping the Bears would lose today so we could get rid of Fox and the quarterback. And, you know, I was never a Cutler fan, but he's a heck of a lot better than the guy we signed for Cutler's salary.
Amen.
And at least Cutler could throw downfield. This guy can't throw downfield. Rosenberg in the Tribune says he's as mobile as a goalpost.
Disrespectful to a goalpost. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate you.
That's a good one now.
I mean, if they lost the football game today, John Fox wasn't getting fired, and Mike Glennon would still be quarterbacking Thursday night, right?
Yes. No, none of those. Yeah, he wouldn't have been fired. I mean, right. Look, this year is going to play out.
For the record, by the way, and I agree, and I
but
know,
it doesn't make it right. And that's the point we're making, folks, is this is their decision and their direction and their best-laid plans of mice and men and foxes, okay? That's not ours. And we're just telling you that come October, come November, we will, and make sure you stay tuned in all year, we will tell you where we would be in our projection and where the Foxins are.
For the record, too, Jay Cutler was not good today. He was 26-44 for 220 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He lost to Josh McCown and the Jets.
History goes against the Dolphins in New York for the last 25 years. It's like that.
This is a bad Jets team.
But it's a trap game for the Dolphins. You know, it's just a tough team to play and beat up there.
20-6 the final today for the Jets and the Dolphins. 312-981-7200. Robert in Dallas has been on hold for an hour. Thanks for being patient, Robert. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I just got a couple points. I think we have a bunch of fart and fall down plays. You know, go back to week one when Hooper gets loose for,
right,
you know, 100 yards on 2 catches. Go to week two when Cohen, you know, he muffs the punt when, you know, everybody in the world stays away from that ball. And then go to this week when, you know, Cooper, you know, lays up, you know, at the 1 yard line. You know, it's just, I don't understand why we, you know, just can't complete plays, you know, can't finish. You know, I don't get it. Like, these are professionals. And, you know,
another question you're wondering, why do we tolerate that stuff? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. You know, I don't see other teams, you know, have these many boneheaded play.
Right. You're right. You don't see it by other teams.
Appreciate your call, Robert. We can thank you for hanging on down in Dallas.
What he's saying is right, Ed. I mean, yeah. What other team has had this many miscues in 3 weeks? It's like a blooper film.
Yeah,
we've
Robert
created it in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he came. That's a hell of a call, Robert. And you know, and it's just the only thing that we don't want is that from week to week to week, and it seems to be the last 3 years. That's more the norm than not. And I'll tell you what, I scream so much about it, and I'm tired of it, but, you know, that was a damn good call. Thank you.
It was. And you know, Robert, your point of the fact that there is a lineage of toleration, that these boneheaded plays, these stupid, you know, situations that we find ourselves in, they connect. And even the head coach himself just said, oh, yeah, that happened up in Denver. So what are we – we're shocked? We're shocked that it happened here?
Yeah.
It's going to happen again. Just wait. Just wait.
Do you think, too, that at some point in that, when that play happened to him in Denver, that he started screaming safety also?
Probably.
He looked around and one of the coaches said something.
No, idiot, it's not a safety.
You know what? You know, Glenn, that is something that's – to me, falls into the almost astonishing area.
Yeah, it was surreal.
How could a head coach offensive defensive coordinator. We must have, I don't know, 20, 30 position coaches. How about a trainer? All right. Water boy, anybody. And nobody on that staff could figure out what the hell was going on that football field. Folks, that's a fact. They didn't know what was going on. How could that happen in year 2017? You're in three games in the 2017 season, and we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and they don't know what the hell's going on in the field? Are you kidding me?
And every 30 seconds, he's adjusting the volume on his headset. So apparently, who's ever in the box, you know, the coaches, they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right. That really should be the Bears' Christmas card, is the whole picture of those that coaching staff with the safety sign.
Above their heads, too. They're showing it.
Glenn, you're right. Mark, you're right. I'm going to tell you, that's astonishing to me. That's astonishing.
It was just surreal.
Not one.
Merry Christmas.
That's him.
Happy holidays.
To you, Bear fans, Merry Christmas. Our coach doesn't know the difference.
They don't know what the hell's going on.
Who am I? What happened? Where are we?
And by the way,
who was that?
And the guy runs down and stops at the 6-inch yard line because he thinks he's going to make some spectacular entrance into the end zone. You idiot.
Yes, his Super Bowl celebration deluxe.
By the way, I thought it was in already.
Hey, we got to win, but we got 13 more weeks of this, so let's see.
Green Bay Thursday night. Hey, make Sundays your fish lines for the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Stick around for the latest in shopping.
You know Green Bay's coming back right now, too.
21-14, down a touchdown to the Bengals with 7:37 to go in the third quarter. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Daryl, Rich, Matt, Greg, you are all next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
The official march to the Super Bowl has started
now.
Right now.
On the safety call.
On the safety touchback. Oh, wait, we get the ball on the half-yard line.
It's a touchdown. No, because he did originally say touchdown. And then he looked around and went to safety next.
Marcus Cooper Sr. stopping short of the goal line, and then the Bears coaching staff stopping short of knowing the rules. All at once.
In one play.
Week 3, September the 24th, 2017. Mark it down. Hampton will be with Kaz. Brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
We should give McManus, though.
Yes, sure.
Great
McManus.
Props because, you know, it is rare that you have any kind of field goal blocked from the edge in today's game. It's just to get there and take the right angle and elevate like he did. It was quite it was a great play by him.
No question about it.
Let's get some calls in here. Daryl has been patient. Call from Seattle and now on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, guys, I just want to say real quick, I called in last year, and you guys were nice enough to send me a book, Doug Pafone's book, and autographed, and it's displayed proudly on my mantle. I just want to say thank you again for that.
You're welcome.
I wasn't going to call today, but listening to you guys, I had a summary, and the word I think everybody's looking for is complacency. I don't think the fans are there, but I think the organization is there. The moment there's a quote saying, the moment you start reducing your expectation – you risk introducing complacency. And I don't think the winning teams have complacency. Cooper's play and the way the players reacted to that after all the training camps with all the stuff, this is the 53-man roster that the coaches pick out for the attitudes they have. And then your point with the safety, the coaches not knowing. The coaches' comments at halftime about that play. The coaches' comments after the game. Glenn is playing because of money, which is a decision that the GM made, which, again, that's complacency. Then they draft Mitchell, go crazy and go down the draft. They don't start him because they don't want to look embarrassed with signing Glennon. And then the question is who does Mitchell throw to? They have no backups. The defense is very solid, but in years they're going to be older and they're going to want more money. So those guys that are doing pretty well right now, 3 to 4 years are going to be gone. Then what do we have? A GM, a new coach, a new GM. lots of Pittsburgh. My son said, watching the game, lots of Pittsburgh fans in the stadium. Why is that, Dad? I go, when there's bad play, those season ticket holders start selling their tickets because they want their money back. The fans are not complacent. My one question, I'm spending $250 to watch the Bears all the way out in Seattle with the football package. My two questions to you is, how long are we away from getting better? Is it 4 years, 5 years, 6 years? And then my next question is, LA's got two teams. New York's got two teams. Why couldn't the third largest city in the United States get two teams? Because this is just 5, 6, 7 years. It just, what is your timeline, guys?
Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks so much. Appreciate everything.
Thanks, Daryl. That was a very, very good call. Very astute. I will tell you why there's not another team in the National Football League. And what I believe happened, a little bit more than that, but I just put it this way. I believe what happened. George Halas saw this coming. There have been other times people tried to go against the National Football League and didn't make it. But what he saw this time, the guys behind the other league, they were big money people. The Hunts of the world. There was a lot of people with millions and billions of dollars. And he saw them coming on. He saw the TV package that they were getting. And George Halas is the man that started the merger of the two leagues. Let me say it again. George Halas, he was that smart. He got the merger to come between the two leagues. And guess what he got? There'll never be another team in Chicago.
Right.
You hear me, folks? You'll never see another team in Chicago. He's the man that put that merger together, and that was the stipulation. Think he wasn't a sharp guy?
Yeah. No question about it.
And hey, let me address the complacency factor that you brought up. And you know what? You're exactly right. See, there has to be accountability. And without that, then everybody is like going to work at Walmart and they're stocking the shelves and they're getting their check and they're going home. And there has to be accountability from the top down before you start getting exceptional effort. Well, you know, there's spots where we have had certain players that do some exceptional things, but like this Marcus Cooper fiasco, the blooper, where he shuts down instead of the rest of the team coming around there grabbing him by the throat saying, hey, we're trying with all of our heart to win, but you're shutting down because why? You think you're in the end zone? Why? Are his eyes that bad? What do you think? Of course not. It was all a self-centered, self-aggrandizing moment that blew up in his face. And he can say whatever he wants. But that is tolerated because we heard what the head coach had to say about it. And as long as that is going to be tolerated, then you will get
what we're getting.
9-to-5 complacency that you'd find at Kohl's department store, where, hey, it doesn't matter how many pants we fold today because we still got a job come tomorrow.
312-981-7200. We got a half an hour to go. We'll run through a bunch of your calls. And yes,
his final question was too: how quickly can they turn it around? Look, in the NFL, you see it all the time. Teams turn it around in a year, but it's drafting intelligently, picking up the right free agents, having a quality, what do you call the squad?
Control, yeah.
No, but you know, the squad that you just have practice player that is on the team but not on the team, right? You get to practice with them. That's how you build it, and you can do it quickly. But you got to have a plan. And you got to have a culture that demands accountability, and none of that happens.
Okay, so
there.
Eddie Goldman and Leonard Floyd, two defensive linemen that's been drafted by this guy, are okay. They're not exceptional. Kevin White is a full blown bust.
Right.
Last year's number one, which, you know, again, is Floyd. And like I said, is okay. This year, we don't know about Trubisky yet, but, you know, Cohen, bona fide.
Yeah, spectacular.
The tight end caught a touchdown today. The safety, Eddie Jackson, has been a playmaker so far. So there's some bright spots. But the overarching, what would you call it, acquiescence of all this mediocrity by the team and the coaches and the management, to me, is nauseating.
We got to go. But did you see Leonard Floyd out there today?
I didn't know.
Jogging around.
Yeah, he was out there.
Yeah, it's hot. He was jogging, man.
All right. Okay. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 39 years. Nationwide is on
nice
your
side. Guy. One of the nicest guys on this planet.
Nationwide on your side. JeffVuk.com. News and then you, 720 WGN.
Second and nine. Cohen changing direction. Comes to this side and has some running room. Goes right around his man. Down the sideline. 30. Cohen. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown.
Almost like a movie. It was like, you couldn't even draw it up better. And I mean, it was great to see Jordan finish it off. But, oh man, that would have been an unbelievable way to win the game right there with Tariq.
The mystery is solved. OB's
all is good in
OB's post-game plans are cemented. What are you drinking tonight, OB?
How would you pronounce it?
Brexis wine.
That's Brexis wine. Yes, Brexis.
Looks delicious.
That was the wine that we had last week, and that'll be the wine shortly.
All right. Celebrate a Bears win as they
there you go.
Were able to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers
that
today
was nice
in
that
overtime.
Nice that they won.
Yeah, it really was.
23-17 the final. A good food at a tasty price. Mr. Submarine, grab a sub pack with delicious meat, cheese, veggies, fresh baked Toronto bread, MrSubmarine.com. Let's get back to the calls here. We appreciate your patience today. It's been very busy as people want to celebrate or at least comment on a Bears win, which at times or maybe still feels like a loss. Rich on the south side, welcome to WGN. Go ahead. Hampton will be with Kaz.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show. I don't want to beat this Cooper play to death, but, you know, this is how all sports are getting with this hot-dogging it, and there's no way it would have happened in the 60s under Coach Ellis or in the 80s under Ditka. So, you know, we got to put that to rest. My question to you guys, on that Cohen run in overtime, if you look at it, and I know the refereeing was bad, but when he was supposedly stepping out of bounds, there was a referee 5 yards from him, and I did not see a signal from that referee. Where did the call come from?
It's because it was a touchdown. They review it, and it comes from up top at the and when you go into overtime.
But, I mean, was there a whistle blown, and who blew it? Because the guy was right there looking down at his foot, and he saw he did not step out of bounds.
And I think, you know what, though, the Bears even kind of, you know, because I saw the OC for the Bears run over and told him, get back, let's get ready. We got to get back out on the field. So I think even the Bears coaches were preparing for the fact that he probably did step out of bounds.
But, Kaz, your point about all scoring plays are reviewed. And
it
then
is
so,
reviewed,
of course, you
right.
know, Gumbel was making sure everything was covered here, so they showed it from the end zone. But ultimately, what the official was worried about was one of the Pittsburgh players comes flying in there, almost like undercut him on the sideline. So I think he was kind of watching out for himself. Hey, when you're on the sideline, you got to keep your head on a swivel.
You do.
And he was like looking at that dude rather than his foot. But the other thing was, the two holding calls, he didn't see them either. So
yeah. Okay. So it worked out well all the way around for us.
And I don't know. It said on at least on TV. I don't know who made the call, but it said the call on the field was that he was out of bounds. So somebody must have called.
I didn't think the call on the field
the back
was
judge who that was the sideline official.
Yeah, could
the
have
back
been.
Judge could have been out there behind him and had a better look. Who knows?
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Greg in Mokena. Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Hey, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to my buddy Dan Moran. We always talk about the guys on the field, great tailgate. But at any rate, my question being, or comment, today the running game got its legs. Is it coincidence or is it reality that Kyle Long's back in, that we finally got the running game going?
Good question, Greg.
He brings an edge that, you know, one of the few guys on the tape that I think plays with an edge all the time. I think it does matter. When he's there, the team plays differently. But I think the referees allowed them to play a little differently today, too,
because they were able to log on and grab on and pile drive people.
Now, all right, come on. The Steelers, they kind of were going through the motions a little bit, but more importantly, your point about Cal Long, you know, he made a Pro Bowl or two or three. He's good. And guess what? When Hronis Grassou went out, then Cody White had to go to center. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more powerful. We're better. We're a lot better at those two spots automatically, just getting those two guys in by side by side. And you know, we don't know much about Soul, but he had a holding call. But ultimately, you know, when you get a couple of good offensive linemen, and again, yeah, you make up your mind. And Jordan Howard was running hard today. He not so much the first 2 weeks. Today, it looked like he really wanted to, you know, hit it up in there.
Steelers also, their run defense is not very good. So we can factor that into today's performance, too.
You called it. That's exactly what happened. Again, I'll say it again. An hour ago, I said all you had to do was watch for four quarters. The Bears pounded the 8 and 9 gap, which that is, folks, that's on the outside of the tackle. They pounded it strong side, weak side. For four quarters, Pittsburgh never made an adjustment. Howard ran wild. Good for us.
And they're pulling the guards, too. The guards were pulling on that play also and, you know, getting more lead blocks up in there.
312-981-7200, the phone number. If you want to jump on in here, we got time for a couple more calls. Dan in Mount Prospect, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. The reason I was calling is I'm an old-timer like the other guys. I'm 73 years old and actually have met everybody on the panel. I thoroughly disagree when you say that the players and the coach should humiliate a player on the sidelines. You're assuming that Fox will not
Let me finish.
And that he won't be speaking to this man at length. The guy made a real screw-up. And if you notice the rest of the game, he played quite well. You know, you guys are talking as if you had great teams. I've seen all your games. You know, two championships in 55 years. So that's all I have to say, because everybody's loving the fact that you want to just kick this guy when he's down.
Thanks, Dan.
No. That. Wait a minute. On the sideline, players were sweating, which should have happened. His position coach should have grabbed them, put them on the bench, or take them to an area and sat them down and made the correction. I've said it on the show earlier. That's exactly what I said.
And I don't know what you mean by humiliate. Guy's got to be coached. I mean, what is he supposed to do?
Well, no, it's called accountability. Humiliate? No. There should be a price to pay when you do not give great effort. Now, here's the thing. Players get beat. I was blocked millions of times, but it didn't mean I wasn't giving great effort. If I gave up and let somebody knock me on my can, and I wanted the other players to console me, who am I fooling? That's a loser attitude. When it comes down to effort, you do not tolerate anything other than maximum effort. Now, if you get beat or somebody's better than you, that's one thing. This kid, he shut it down trying to be a showboat. That's why he would not have been tolerated on our team.
The only thing that I'm saying again is that's what should have happened. Position coach, call him on the side, straighten him out. That did not happen. Everybody's patting him on the back and whatever have you. That's not acceptable either.
And to Dan's point, I don't think anybody in this studio is sitting here claiming that they were perfect when they were on the field, even the Hall of Famer, as you just said, Dan. So
yeah, I did. Listen, he had his little agenda. He got it out there, and let's move on. I don't really care what Dan says, because basically he needs a hug, and I'll give it to him because I like Dan.
That's very nice,
right?
Guys. That's
big. Right, Ed. We are touchy feely too. So I'm sorry, Dan, that we hurt your feelings.
Matt in Andersonville, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for another Emmy-worthy show. I just like to say that Cooper's impersonation of Leon Lett was spot on.
Yes, it was perfect, wasn't it?
And I just had a question, kind of more for Ed. You played in one of the most tumultuous decades in American history, and did anyone ever do that? Even bring up like boycotting an anthem in that locker room, like they did today with Pittsburgh?
No, and
thanks for calling, Matt.
Nobody would run to the 6 inches from after an interception and stop and try to pull some spectacular entrance into the end zone. That never would have happened, or the, you wouldn't believe what would have happened to him. That's just the fact. And there was no disrespect. Listen, my uncles were in World War II. My brother was in Vietnam and Desert Storm. He retired a full bird. And so I've got a lot of pride in our family over the decades. And, you know, I don't particularly care to see this. I think if you got a problem, just don't come out. Stay in the locker room and let the flag and the men and women of the armed forces be honored in this great country. That's just how I feel about it. And if somebody's got, if they got another feeling about it, fine.
The you also never lost to the Steelers at home, OB. You know that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh, the Bears were 8-0 against the Steelers at Wrigley Field from 1936 to 1969, just for the record.
Is that right?
You never lost to the Steelers. 12-1 all time in Chicago. 312-981-7200. Jeff in Milwaukee, go ahead, man. Turn your radio down is the key thing when you call the show. So, Jeff, you can try again. Bears beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 23-17. We'll get you ready for next week with the Packers. Not even next week, a couple days up in Green Bay Thursday night.
Thursday,
we'll preview that one coming.
And this is a game they can win.
Well, we'll see. You want me to try Jeff one more time, or hey,
yeah.
Jeff, go ahead, man. We'll give you one more shot at it. Go ahead.
Hey, Dan, this question's for you. Tell me about the dynamic in the clubhouse. What kind of leadership was in the 80s with you, 70s, 80s, when you were playing your college ball at Arkansas, when you were a leader of the Bears team versus today's showboat athletes? Tell me about the difference in the leadership.
Thank you, Jeff. Hampo, the leader.
Just wanted to know the leadership.
The leadership in your locker room, the style versus the leadership style today.
When you played.
Well, yeah, there was a number of different factors and forces, a lot of strong personalities. You know, you got Walter, which Walter wasn't a real vocal, vociferous guy. Oh, let's, you know, he led by example, practice, training, in all phases. We had a bunch of guys along the offensive line that were quiet but very tough. But the real, you know, wild cards were the defensive guys. Singletary get cranked up and crazy, and you know, he was what he was. Dent would get crazy, and Wilbur, McMichael. McMichael went into the rookie locker room 1 year before game with you, right, Cos?
Yeah, true story. Walks in, and it's a first preseason game.
It's a preseason game.
We're all sitting there, Neil Anderson, myself, Maurice Douglas, and all these young, we're all sitting there. He comes walking in, and he has his pants up to his chest, and he starts bashing his helmet on his head. And it starts
until it
bleeding.
Starts bleeding.
And we're all looking at him. He goes, are you guys ready?
Are you ready,
Brooks? And then he turns and he walks out. And we're all sitting there. And I said, Neil said, he goes, man, that guy's a fool. We just started laughing.
I mean, we had all kinds of different factors that inspired us. But, you know, hey, and you can strip it all away. Buddy Ryan had an amazing ability to motivate us. But, you know, that's the thing about Ditka. Dick was without peer when it came to putting a team on a path and basically, you know, winding them up and saying, all right, here we go. Let's go get them.
Who are you close with, Hamp, on that team?
All those guys. You know, yeah. Richard and
me.
Steve. And yeah.
Mongo.
Michael. And, you know, Singletary. You know, that – Singletary and I and Mongo, we all played in the Southwest Conference. We all were the Defensive Player of the Year. And so we all had like a little brotherhood affinity for each other. But, you know, guys like Gary Fensick, he was an amazing leader. He wasn't one of those guys that would go rah, rah, rah. But he'd make plays, and you'd see the look in his eye. He was serious. And we wanted to be great. We really did. And we inspired each other, and we would not tolerate. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen, I was telling my son, little Dan, who's now starting to play, I said, I couldn't talk to somebody for an hour after the game because of the 80 plays. I may have made a bad step or got blocked once, twice, three times, whatever it was. A lot of times it wasn't many, but if I would dwell on those and obsess on those, I couldn't stand it. The next day in the meeting, I'd want to crawl under the desk when the film was being played. We had 11 guys that's the way they thought.
Didn't want to be pointed out on film.
No, at all cost. You want to be the guy cracking the whip, not taking the lick. You know what I'm saying?
Were you a perfectionist as a kid? Was that fair?
No.
Okay.
No, but I mean, it was almost like one of those deals. Once you get on it, you don't stop. You know, we all kind of pushed ourselves and inspired it. And when I got here in 79, we made the playoffs. So we were a good team, not a great team, but it really, 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 really got serious. And that's a great word, serious. You know, because, I mean, we all want to try hard, and we all want to play hard, and we all want to win. And all. But it got real serious about 84. And then for the next 5 years, and I think we won more games than any team in NFL history over a five-year period, you know, because we were serious. We wanted to win.
312-981-7200. Bears and the Packers on Thursday night. We'll preview it next, 720 WGN.
The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
All right, we got Green Bay Thursday night. We'll be with you at 10:30 until midnight. And the Bears going up to play the Packers, which of course means Aaron Rodgers. It means Jordy Nelson. It means being an underdog. It means probably a 10-point spread.
Really? So, you think a 10-point spread?
I'm 14.
Really?
I don't think it's going to be that high. But
guys, you don't think those people that make the numbers in Las Vegas watch Mike Glennon today?
Yeah, good point.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was frightening how poorly the guy played and that we got a win. And we're ecstatic. We're thankful. And forever and a day, we're going to have Christmas cards with John Fox and his staff putting his arms over his head saying that we got a safety when we never had a safety. But it was great. But the point I'm making is this. Hey, and thanks a lot, Cincinnati. You're riling him up. Cincinnati's got him down right now. They've hit Aaron Rodgers probably 15 times. They've sacked him 6. So I'm just saying it will be all hands on deck. But here's the problem. The Packers, they've beaten everybody they played since Thanksgiving except one team, and that's the Atlanta Falcons, who may be the best team in football. Who knows? But all that being said is we better – hey, it was a great win today, but if we play like we did today up in Green Bay
– you'll lose.
You ain't going to win. 100 yards passing, OB. You think you can match up with Aaron Rodgers with 100 yards passing?
No chance.
What did I tell you? How the hell do you throw 101 yards of passing in four quarters of a National Football League in today's world? It is that redefines the word impossible.
Speaking of those Falcons, by the way, they beat the Lions today 30-26. So Detroit is 2-1. And the Vikings were a winner over the Buccaneers, 34-17. Of course, the Bears got smoked by the Bucs last week. So Minnesota and the Lions are both 2-1. If Green Bay loses, they'll be sitting there with the Bears at 1-2.
At 1-2, at the the bottom of the stairs, looking up, and we know what Mr. Relax does when he's in tough spots. So all I can say is, guys, anytime you go on the road, you play a little defense and you run the ball like we did today, we got a chance. But my goodness, this may be your last chance. Anybody got a DVR? Do you still got one? I think little Dan and I got one.
I do.
Hey,
yeah.
Get your tapes out. This may be the last time you see Glennon in a bear suit.
Dan, I just disagree with you there, partner. I'll tell you what. You can run to the ends of the earth in the National Football League. You are going absolutely nowhere if you don't pass this damn football and pass it downfield. That's what it gives you. And if we don't do it, we're not going to win, Danny.
Obi, you know what time it is?
What time?
It's breakfast wine time, pal.
It is breakfast time.
It's breakfast time, bud.
It's a breakfast excess.
Get yourself a bottle. It's an excellent white wine.
Outstanding. I'm in. Breakfast wine.
There you go, kid.
What are you going to do with all those wines in the boxes in your refrigerator
now? I don't know.
Now?
That's a good question.
Hey, wait a minute.
My 16-ounce Coors Light
wine is Muscatel.
That's exactly right. All right, great.
98 cents a quart.
We'll see you Thursday night at 10:30. Brian Noonan's coming up next.
A gallon.
720 WGN.